So we conclude the 19th chapter of Judges, and as we move into the 20th chapter of Judges, we see how this event had a great effect upon the whole nation. Verse 1 of chapter 20, "Then all the children of Israel went out, and the congregation was gathered together as one man from Dan even to Beersheba with the land of Gilead under the Lord in Mizpah." So after the Levites sent each tribe a portion of his concubine's body, and along with it the message as to what had happened, what a terrible, terrible deed had been committed by these Benjaminites, the people of Gibeah, then the children of Israel went out. The congregation was gathered together as one man. So they all came together in one big convocation. That is, all the leaders of the people came. And it says, from Dan even to Beersheba with the land of Gilead. So Dan to Beersheba, that we just studied about how the city of Laish had had its name changed to Dan when the Danites had captured it in the very northernmost part of the nation. Beersheba was in the southernmost part, so it includes all of the tribes, and even east of the Jordan, including the land of Gilead, they gathered under the Lord in Mizpah. Now, there are several cities in the Old Testament that are named Mizpah, but this is more than likely the one that's on the very boundary of Benjamin and Judah. Sometimes it was claimed by Judah, sometimes claimed by Benjamin, which would be not too far from the scene of the crime, and also not too far from actually the city of Shiloh itself. Now, they didn't gather in Shiloh, probably so as to not disrupt the work of the priest and the tabernacle in that holy area, because this was a large convocation of people. But they're not far from Shiloh. Verse 2, "And the chief of all the people." Now, this word chief here means the corners. The cornerstones, the ones that the people would anchor themselves to for leadership. Although they didn't have a king, they still had the lower order of judges, and this would include those. "The chief of all the people, even of all the tribes of Israel, presented themselves in the assembly of the people of God, 400,000 footmen that drew sword." So they had a large army associated here. They were footmen that drew swords, so they were in an army. They were in a type of military operation and military disposition, being 400,000 footmen that drew swords. They were armed, and they were ready to carry out an armed or military action. And so here this large assembly is gathered together, all of these hundreds of thousands of soldiers, with the chief of the tribes being there, and so they're going to decide what to do about this matter. Verse 3, "Now the children of Benjamin heard that the children of Israel were going up to Mizpah." So the Benjaminites heard about this. No doubt they received one of the 12 portions of the woman's body with the message. They more than likely had an invitation to attend. Their leaders did. And we don't know whether they attended or not, but in all probability they didn't attend, because we'll learn from later action that they were rebellious against the action that was taken. "Then said the children of Israel, tell us, how was this wickedness?" So we see at this great assembling, they had a trial. They had a hearing about the matter, and that's what the Levite had asked for. He had asked them to consider it, take advice, and speak your minds. He wanted the thing aired out. He wanted it to be known. He wanted the people to be able to follow whatever feeling they had about it. So tell us, how was this wickedness? Now, it seems from the narrative that maybe only the Levite was consulted, although the Bible scholars say that this phrase, tell us, really should be translated, tell you us, as though they were asking more than one person to respond to the testimony to be given. So it could have been the Levite, it could have also included the old man, and it could have also included the Levite servant. So there could have been at least three, maybe more, who could have given a witness account as to what happened. Maybe some of the persons of the household of the old man could have also testified here. And to me it seems important that they may have had more than one witness, because the law didn't provide for one witness's story to be able to cause anyone to be put to death, much less to cause such a great reaction that this nation would have to this against Benjamin. But in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word could be well established. So tell us, how was this wickedness? And the Levite, the husband of the woman that was slain, answered and said, I came to Gibeah that belongeth to Benjamin, I and my concubine, to lodge. So he begins to relate the story. He was just a traveler. He wasn't doing any harm to anybody. And as we remember when we studied this in the previous lesson, he didn't want to lodge down at Jerusalem where the Jebusites were. He wanted to come on up to a town that was a town occupied by Israelites, and that's why he moved on even into the dark to the place of Gibeah. And so he said, I and my concubine to lodge. And the men of Gibeah rose against me and beset the house round about upon me by night and thought to have slain me. Now he doesn't seem to relate the very shameful thing they wanted to do. They wanted to commit sodomy with him. That was the initial impetus of their movement against the man. But he realized that what happened to the concubine would have also happened to him. So he, maybe out of embarrassment, seem to include the idea of their wanting to commit the act of sodomy. And that's one of the great problems today, whenever a person has a sexual sin like this committed against them, particularly in acts of rape, many times the victim doesn't want to testify out of just pure shame, disgrace over the thing that has happened. And many of the guilty people get away without any kind of problem at all because no one wants to go through the shameful thing of testifying in public about it. But anyway, this Levite did say they thought to have slain me and my concubine, how they forced that she is dead. So they did take the concubine, and they did force and use her and abuse her to the point that they killed her. And as we know, she about daylight, she got back to the doorsteps of the house and fell over dead there on the threshold and couldn't even open or knock upon the door. And I took my concubine and cut her in pieces, and sent her throughout all the country of the inheritance of Israel, for they have committed lewdness and folly in Israel. So he's wanting to show what a terrible sin this was. The man was a Levite. He was familiar with the law. He was familiar with the fact that true Israelites were not to not only not do this, but they were not to allow it to happen without bringing the vengeance of God upon the guilty persons. And so he wanted this to be known, what had happened. And so he chose this manner of, as gruesome as it may seem, of cutting the concubine into 12 pieces and sending each tribe a piece of her body with the message of what had happened. And of course, it brought about this great convocation of people that we're reading about right now. So in verse 7, he says, Behold, you're all children of Israel. Give here your advice and counsel. You're children of Israel. You're children that are supposed to be upright, supposed to be people that have some kind of a knowledge and sense of what is right and what's wrong. You know what God's law says about this. You're susceptible to the teachings of the true and living God. And so give your advice and counsel. And all the people arose as one man saying. Now, they all agreed. There wasn't apparently any kind of a dissenting vote or voice as to what they should do or needed to do. They all arose as one man, saying, We will not any of us go to his tent, neither will we any of us turn into his house. But now this thing shall be the thing which we will do to Gibeah. We will go up by lot against it. So they were not going to go back home. They were not going to return to their tent, regardless of what their home needs might be or what the pressing call of home might be. They were going to take care of this matter and move against Gibeah. They were going to bring about some kind of retribution, some kind of punishment because of the sin that Gibeah had committed. We will go up by lot against it. And so here we have a description given of how they're going to make preparation for this movement against the town of Gibeah and maybe even the tribe of Benjamin. It may be a long campaign, and they didn't come to Mizpah with the idea of having a protracted visit or stay. They just brought enough victuals to last them during the time of the council. But now they see that they're going to have to launch this campaign, and it may take a while. So verse 10 says, And we will take 10 men of 100 throughout all the tribes of Israel, and 100 of 1,000, and 1,000 out of 10,000, to fetch victual for the people. that they may do when they come to Gibeah of Benjamin, according to all the folly that they have wrought in Israel. So they're sending 1/10 of the people to go and fetch victual, that is to get the provisions they're going to need to carry out this campaign. That'd be 40,000 people, 1 out of 10. And so they were the ones that were to go back home, go back to the original tribes, and get whatever provisions they needed to maintain this army of 400,000 men. And it may be that they would form some kind of a supply line to keep providing whatever might needed to be provided as long as this army had to be in the field. Because they wanted to be able to do what they may do, or what they needed to do, to properly chastise, to properly rectify as much as could be this horrendous act of these men of Gibeah, so that they may do when they come to Gibeah of Benjamin according to all the folly that they have wrought in Israel. Now, this is the rule of God, that you're punished according to your folly. You're punished according to your sin. You're not punished for the sins of somebody else. You're punished for your own sins. And you have to give answer for your own sins. And so that's the way the punishment is. It's commensurate with the sin. And so this is the way that these people of Israel were going to do against this tribe of Benjamin, against this city of Gibeah. They were going to do according to all the folly that they have wrought in Israel. So all the men of Israel were gathered together against the city, knit together as one man. So there was quite a formidable opposition now. 400,000 soldiers gathered together as one man against the city of Gibeah. So in verse 12 we see what the first action was. And the tribes of Israel sent men through all the tribe of Benjamin, saying, "What wickedness is this that is done among you?" They first of all broadcast the sin, the charge that was brought against the men of Gibeah. They let it be known. What wickedness is this that is done among you? They have tried to persuade them that this was truly a terrible act, that this was something that needed to be recompensed for, that this was something they could not let go by. They no doubt felt quite strongly about the fact that the sin of Sodom had brought about the destruction of Sodom, the raining down of fire and brimstone, the annihilation of the city, and they might have felt that had they let this same sin go by, they might have suffered a similar type punishment themselves for not trying to rectify it some way. "Now, therefore," they said, "deliver us the men, the children of Belial, which are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and put away evil from Israel." Now, their demand was a reasonable demand under the circumstances. They said, "All we want are the guilty men. Just give us these men of Gibeah that have been guilty of this, the ones who have participated in this terrible act, these children of Belial," which means the children of the wicked one, the children of the devil. "We want to have them, that we can put them to death. There need not be any battle, need not be any warfare, need not be any destruction of your nation. Just give us the guilty men." But notice the obstinacy, the stubbornness, and the depravity of the tribe of Benjamin. "But the children of Benjamin would not hearken to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel." It seems that they wanted to protect these wicked men. They wanted to allow them to go unpunished. They wanted to allow them to get away with this terrible act, only to live again and commit it again. And this is certainly a black moment in the history of Benjamin, to have refused a reasonable demand like this under the circumstances. The circumstances are very strained and actually terrible circumstances. And so the demand to punish the guilty men, although it may seem to be extreme in the eyes of some, it was not extreme in the light of what had happened. "But the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together out of the cities unto Gibeah to go out to battle against the children of Israel." Now, not only did they refuse to give them the guilty men so that they could be put to death, but they presumed then that they would protect them, they would defend them, and they gathered their army together to go into battle against the children of Israel. Now, we're going to see that they were greatly outnumbered, and this was a very foolish act on their part. And the children of Benjamin were numbered at that time out of the cities, 26,000 men that drew the sword, besides the inhabitants of Gibeah, which were numbered 700 chosen men. So they had 26,000, 27,000 men going against the 400,000. And it wasn't just a matter of being outnumbered like 2 to 1. They were outnumbered more like 15 to 1. A terrible one-sided contest here. And among all this people, there were 700 chosen men left-handed, everyone that could sling stones at a hairbreadth and not miss. That seemed that they were putting their trust in the fact that they had 700 men that were crack shots with the sling. They were left-handed men. And so they were going to, if they couldn't overcome them by number, they were going to attempt to overcome them by being able to outperform them with these 700 men that were so good using the slingshot. It describes them as being so good that they could sling stones at a hair breadth and not miss. So the tribe of Benjamin, Benjamin the one who was the son of the right hand, was to be defended by those that were skilled with the left hand. Verse 17, and the men of Israel besides Benjamin were numbered 400,000 men that drew the sword. All these were men of war. Just again showing that there is a very great discrepancy in the numbers now. 27,000 against 400,000, and these 400,000 that Israel had, they were all men that drew the sword. They weren't just bodies there to give an appearance of a large army. They were men that were skilled, men that were well-armed, men that were able to carry out whatever needed to be done in the way of warfare. So we now have the stage all set for warfare. Civil war, the 11 tribes against the tribe of Benjamin. Well, we're out of time for this part of our study. Till next time, this is NC Crouch saying goodbye, friends.